come to chapter 3, please. Now, we see in verse 8, Apostle Paul, from his own testimony, life, he has written, or he said these words, verse 8. Shall we read together slowly? Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And further, if we read verses 9 and 10 also, it continues, or he continues to say, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, in verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Naturally, in chapter 3, we can understand, or we can have the biodata, or portfolio, whatever you call, of Apostle Paul. And very clearly, he mentioned about his past. But then how he is counting all such kind of glorious past as, you know, nothing but dung. And that is actually for the for having the knowledge of God, or even for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, as we slowly enter into this chapter, we see that Apostle Paul, he was talking about his past life. And in chapter 3, especially from verse 4 onwards, and he said like this, in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he has many things to boast about. And that was the life of Apostle Paul. And from the world point of view, or, you know, from the standards or the norms that we have in this world, accordingly, we see that Apostle Paul is telling that I do not come short of anybody, whoever may be there in this world. In verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day. In those days, that is how, you know, Jews, they boast about themselves, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. See how he calls himself. He's boasting that he was from the tribe of Benjamin and from the stock of Israel, and he was the Hebrew of Hebrews. That was his past. And also, he says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Actually, many of you may be knowing about the New Testament. It would have been wonderful for us to have some introduction to the New Testament, because, you know, sometimes we do not understand these words that are mentioned in the New Testament, which are not given in the Old Testament. For example, when we slowly turn from Malachi, that is the last book of Old Testament, to the Matthew's Gospel in the New Testament, we come across a few things like, you know, Pharisee, Sadducee, and we come across Herod. Where are they from? Who are they? We do not know, right? It is not mentioned to us in the Old Testament, but it would have been wonderful. We do not have time to know how all these things have come into picture. But one thing we know, that in those days, Pharisees, they consider themselves as very pious or holy people or separated people. And actually, because of the three cultures that were prevailing in those days, one is Greek, another one was Roman, and third one was Hebrew or Jewish culture. And we know after the Old Testament, when we come into the New Testament, these are the prominent things that were there in the land of Palestine, where Lord Jesus Christ was born and the people of Israelites were living. And Greeks were, actually, they were very influential, because their culture was such an attractive culture for the young and old. And even the Holy Bible had to be translated into Greek. And Hebrew language was totally forgotten. Now you can just think and imagine how much influential it would have been. That means if we lose our own language, for example, after coming to America, still some of you, I mean, I see that children are also able to understand our mother tongue. But then if the influence is very much more, they will also lose it. And everyone, they lost their own language. And Bible had to be translated into Greek language. See? Greek culture also. And this idolatry and all those things have come. And I would like to encourage you to look into that kind of, you know, introduction to the New Testament. Then you can understand the New Testament in a wonderful manner. At the same time, Romans, their military power, their rules like law of the land, they were very strong. And they brought in their culture also. And Jews, they have their own culture. So in the midst of all such kind of, you know, three different and altogether contradictory cultures, Jews also were divided. Some people, they took the side of Greeks. Some people, they took the side of Romans. And some people, they want to be separated themselves from these two things. For example, Sadducees, they took the side of Greeks and they possessed the even temple. Temple was actually ruled by them. They were actually very aristocratic, we can call them, because they loved name, fame, riches, and they joined the Greeks at that time. And they actually, some people, they wanted to please Romans also. Whereas Pharisees, they do not want to join. So they went on to synagogues where they taught the scriptures to the people. And synagogues were under their, actually, we can call them under their rule. Or even the law of God was given to them. So they were the teachers of the law. And they used to teach the common people in synagogues. Okay, so that is how we understand. Now, Paul is telling that he belonged to Pharisees. That means he's not taking the side of Greeks or Romans, but he is standing for the Lord and he was following the law. In Singapore, we had an opportunity to go and visit a synagogue. And there we came across one young man. He was a rabbi at the time. And, you know, he was having special robes with all, you know, tunics and then threads to his robe. When somebody asked from the fellowship, what is the meaning of all these things? He was telling that, you know, all together there are 600 plus commandments are there. So he has 600 and, I mean, more than 600 threads to that robe. And one of our brothers asked him, do you think you are following all those laws? Young man, maybe he's in 20s. You know, to my surprise, he said, I'm following all laws. You know, such kind of, you know, person who having great zeal for the scriptures, for the law of God. Though they do not have Christ, they do not have salvation. We are very sorry. They do not know Lord Jesus Christ. But then we can now see Apostle Paul also such kind of person. He's telling that in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. You know the law of God, how strict it is and what kind of things it demands from a person. But then Apostle Paul is telling, I was blameless according to the law. And he might have lived, you know, such kind of life. I mean, he actually has all reasons to boast about. But now he's telling, all these things I'm considering but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now you can consider how much we are privileged to have Lord Jesus Christ, to know him and to have him as our personal savior. Not only we know him as our savior, But one of the things that Bible tells us, reminds us, is that we should have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. At the salvation, at the time of salvation, we do not know him completely. And we do not know practically. So the Bible encourages us, the Word of God encourages us that we need to have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. In order to have that kind of knowledge, we can forgo anything, any comfort, and whatever may be the thing that is considered as the greatest thing by the people and by the world, we can forgo all of them in order to have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the great thing about the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ? You know, here we see the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul, having learned the entire law, he's telling, I do not have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And he's considering that without the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, everything that he has is useless. It is equivalent to dung. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are given a privilege to know Lord Jesus Christ and also to have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have time to go through all these things, but it is not actually the mental ability, or as some people call as a cognition, I mean knowing Christ, but it is a practical experience of the life of Lord Jesus Christ. That's what exactly Apostle Paul is talking about. Bible tells the knowledge of God is the highest thing that we can have in this world, you know, better than anything else that we can have, we can possess. And in one of the books of the prophets, the prophet says, the people are perishing because they do not have the knowledge of God. Maybe I will just remind that one. Maybe we'll look into that verse. And in order to see the excellency of the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we may consider all things that we have in the Word of God as well as about Lord Jesus Christ, or, you know, they may not be very attractive in our lives, and we cannot also present that to be, you know, very precious and valuable thing to our children also, because we sometimes fail in acknowledging the value of the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. So to understand what is the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ and how it helps all of us, kindly come to book of Hosea, or Hosea, or Hosea, whatever you call it. Many people call it different ways because we are from Telugu. So Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Let me read verse 1 and then also verse 6. Kindly read along with me. Slowly you can read. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You know, it was missing in the land. That's why, you know, the Lord is very much unhappy. Now, in verse 6, further, the prophet says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means when we connect to verse 1, knowledge of God. It's a practical knowledge. It is not just mental ability. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now, he's talking to the people, even this prophet. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. So the Lord was telling in those days, because they have forsaken the word of God, even the law of God, even rejected the knowledge of God, the Lord says, you know, is ultimately had rejected. In other words, we see that the knowledge of God is the one that protects us. My people were destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. So even sometimes, you know, when young people, they come and ask, what is that one thing that I should be having from the word of God, which will make me very stable in my spiritual life? I always tell, it is because you do not know who your God is. And that is the reason, you know, we commit sin, we make mistakes, and we do not know how to serve the Lord, and our worship and all coming together, sometimes they're not that much actually fruit yielding in our lives. But if you have the knowledge of God, and that will make us a great difference in all our activities, worship, you know, breaking of bread, in our meditations, in our prayers, and in our fellowships. And it brings, you know, life into our midst and the knowledge of God. And this will not come because of the education. I have come from a very poor place. And I know how the villagers, they come and worship the Lord. They do not have sandals to wear, but they have very good Bibles to have. So when they come early, before everybody else. When somebody asks them to read, they are the people first to open their Bible and read joyfully. They may not have food. They may not have good raiments and clothes also to wear. They do not have many things, but they have that kind of, you know, zeal, love for the Lord, and they know the Lord very practically, even in their tough and very difficult lives. When time comes to worship the Lord, they are the people, they worship the Lord, you know, from the bottom of their hearts. How much more we should be having all privileges that God has given unto us. Have this knowledge of God. Have this love for God. And worship the Lord and praise Him. Now, here, coming back to Apostle Paul's life, and as he's telling, he's talking about his portfolio biodata, right? My name is Saul, and I am from the stock of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Qualification, I practice the law. You know, I was blameless. Even he learned from, in those days, the highest, you know, professional, even Gamaliel, he learned the law. And such kind of person, now he's making this kind of thing, you know. Verse 7 is the very important thing here we see. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In order to win Christ, in order to have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, because of the time, we will not dwell on this much, because we need to go down and have actually the portion that reminds us how a believer can rejoice because of this aspect of the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I think sufficient it will be for all of us to say that the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ is very, very important, precious to all of us, and we can forgo everything else in order to have that kind of knowledge, salvation. And that's why we teach our children also, right from the childhood, we teach them about God from songs, you know, from Bible, Sunday school, church, and all these things, because we want our children to know Christ, and the knowledge of Christ will protect them, and they will also will not perish, but they will be prospering because of the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Apostle Paul is telling that, I want to suffer, you know, everything as loss, to win Christ. In verse 8, that is what we see. And verse 10, we see that I may know him. I may know him. So those are the two things that we see in this epistle. So consider our Lord Jesus Christ. His knowledge is excellent. Devuni gurinchina jnanamu ati shrestamainadi. Dani korakai manam entaina kuda manamu మనకు కూడా పోగొట్టుకొని కూడా దాన్ని సంపాదించుకోవటానికి మనం ప్రయాసపడాలి అని మనం చెప్పబడుతున్నాం. ఓకే, అండ్ వి సీ హియర్ ఈస్ టెల్లింగ్ దట్ త్రూ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు హ్యావ్ ది రైచియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్. ఐ మే బి ఫౌండ్ ఇన్ రైచియస్నెస్, నాట్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఆఫ్ ది రైచియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్ మైన్ ఓన్ ఆర్ ఫ్రమ్ ది లా, బట్ through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is entirely different aspect. We will not go into it. And now we see that from verse 11 onwards, he's talking about something else, you know, that is very important, which will bring joy to every believer, not only to have the knowledge. That knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ is the key factor for all of us to have joy. If at all we are missing any kind of, you know, joy that God has given unto us and talked about the joy, now we can remember or remind ourselves, probably I do not have this knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, I'm not enjoying my life, or I do not have true joy. Maybe this is the secret. From today onwards, I will try to spend time to have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we know him, the better we will be, and joy will be increasing. That is the first aspect. We will consider that one as the first matter in order to have a joy, for the joy of a believer. Now, in prayer meeting also, we are talking about the name of the Lord, the nature of God, and the knowledge of God. And that watch is helping me a lot, you know, because it is not moving. I thought I have a lot of time, but I do not have. So I may have only 5 minutes, brother. And actually I'm following that time. It is not moving at all, you know. And I need to close in probably 5 minutes. I will close. What was I sharing? Yes. Now here, Apostle Paul is telling that number one is, in order to have a joy of the believer comes from the knowledge of God. In prayer meetings, we are seeing about the name of God, nature of God. Once it is completed, God willing, we will take up and talk to brothers also about the characters or attributes of God. They can be meditated in many ways, but we see from the prayer point of view, okay? And the implication of every attribute of God for prayer. That is what we will be doing. At the time, we can know more about our God. And, you know, sometimes when we teach our children in Sunday school, we may tell like that, you know, God will punish you. So they develop a thought about God. They think that God is always with a stick. So they never see him as a loving person. So they do not know that he has a good plans for them. They miss the amazing part of course, the Lord does not like sin. You know, he hates it. But at the same time, we need to have a clear picture of God. We need to give that picture also to our children so that they may consider loving him and seeing him as a person to follow, imitate. You know, that kind of picture we need to give about our God, which Bible gives. Anyway, here we are coming to second point, how a believer can have joy. First one is having the knowledge of God. Secondly, here it's very interesting thing. Probably you may find it difficult to understand how we can have a joy by doing this one. Verse 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. By suffering, we can have a joy. And it may be not possible for all of us to understand clearly. But Apostle Paul saw that actually that aspect gives him a great joy. And that is why he's leaving everything and coming forward to have fellowship in sufferings with Lord Jesus Christ. What does this aspect do in the life of a believer, and how it can bring joy to a believer? We need to all the time remember we should not be seeing only the beginning of the sufferings or the sufferings as itself, but we need to see beyond sufferings. Okay, I will bring this thought before you for your meditation. Now we see verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now I may ask a couple of questions. That I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Have you ever tried to understand this one? I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. తెలుగులో ఏమంటుంది? నా దేని చేత నేను పట్టుకోబడ్డానో దానిని పట్టుకోవటానికి. ఇప్పుడు మీరు బాగా తెలుగు తెలిసిన వాళ్ళు, ఇంగ్లీష్ తెలిసిన వాళ్ళు దీని మీనింగ్ చెప్తారా? టు అటైన్ దట్, టు అప్రిహెండ్ దట్ for which he was apprehended. Can anybody tell me what is the meaning of this one? To apprehend that for which he was apprehended. Anybody tell me? It is, you know, it is a very interesting thing. Apostle Paul is a very, very special person. And he is not like you and me. You know, when God called him, do you know why, how he called? God called him to suffer. He said, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 18 onwards, if you read maybe verse 10, what kind of great sufferings, even chapter 9 also we see, that he may suffer great things for me. He was called to suffer. And if anybody gives us a call that you should be suffering, rest of your life must be sufferings, how do we think? We think, you know, very much unhappy, I mean, about it. Oh, this kind of call, you know, it's very tough. God called me only to suffer. But then Apostle Paul did not stop there. He wanted to see what is there beyond these sufferings. So that is what. He was apprehended by God. See, he called to suffer. Now he's telling, I want to apprehend that one. So, nannu pattukuna vaanni, nenu pattukovali. And the calling that God has given unto me, I need to see the end of it. That means I want to see beyond these sufferings and the purpose of this call. So that is the meaning of it. I mean, simple words, because of the time we have to rush. So therefore, that much we will understand. That means we need to see what is there beyond sufferings. Then only we can joy in our sufferings. Only a child of God can have this kind of understanding about the sufferings, and he can really have a joy of suffering. Kindly, I think you might have read Romans chapter 5 many times. One or two things I would like to remind you before we go any further. Romans chapter 5. And as soon as you are justified, you are given 7 privileges. All those privileges are mentioned in chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10. Among them, one is this. Verse 10, maybe 2 and 3, chapter 5, 2 and 3, shall we read? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, if we see these two verses, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what does that mean? Beyond the sufferings, there is glory. And that is what Apostle Paul has already understood very clearly. The Lord called me for this glory. If I see only the first part, sufferings, then he will not be able to take it. So he is rejoicing because of that glory. He is rejoicing because of that call. He's telling that it is the greatest call that God has given unto me. Not only to suffer, but to have that glory. So I rejoice. So only child of God can see beyond sufferings. There was a man called Viktor Frankl, and he was, I think he wrote a very good book also on sufferings. He said, if we know the meaning of the sufferings and purpose of the sufferings, what is there beyond sufferings, then we can, you know, successfully suffer, even as children of God. We all are called to bear the cross of God, suffer in this world, and to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So what do we understand? Only children of God, they can have a clear understanding of the sufferings because they know what is there beyond the sufferings. We are not actually, we are not discouraged by looking at the difficulties that we go through because we know what is going to happen afterwards. Anyway, that is what Lord Jesus Christ has shown through his life. That's what exactly Apostle Paul is telling when we come to Philippians chapter 3. He's telling that I should have fellowship with sufferings and made conformable to his death that I may obtain. Verse 11. By any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He would like to even die and even to become a martyr for Lord Jesus Christ in order to taste that resurrection. and even to have that kind of experience of Lord Jesus Christ in the resurrection. So second thing, you know, when we are losing things and consider everything but loss for the excellency of Lord Jesus, knowledge of Christ, we may suffer in this world. And that sufferings will give us glory. And that will be a reason for the joy of a believer. So excellency of the knowledge of God, that is one of the reasons for the joy of a believer. Suffering for that knowledge is the second reason for the believer. And third reason here we see in verse 13 and 14, brethren, and I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward towards the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I mentioned, you see how he calls that his calling. I mean, the call that God has given unto him. It is a high calling. It is a high calling for the reward, high calling for the prize. So whenever we are going through any difficulty, let us press forward. And this, you know, pressing forward, it gives us a picture. Now, suppose if I have a heavy load and each and every step becomes very difficult for us to move. So when we are not able to move freely, we press forward. We make it, you know, some soldiers as they do, and they may crawl and they may lie on the ground. Very sorry. Try to move forward. That is called pressing forward towards the mark that God has given unto us. For the high calling, for the reward, that is what actually Apostle Paul is telling. For that to happen, we need to do one thing. We need to forget the past. For every child of God, past is a terrible thing. And that past will always makes us to feel guilty, makes us to suffer, makes us to think many things, you know, and it defeats us. So we need to remember, we need to do one thing, forgetting the past. Sometimes forgetfulness is very good. I was telling our brothers, you know, PhD means permanent head damage. I forget many things. If I'm doing something, I forget everything else. So forgetfulness also is a gift from God. We need to forget many things. We need to forget all past failures and forget everything that was in the past. Past seems to be a terrible thing for us. So let us forget about moving forward. And pressing forward is one thing that will do. And it will result to joy of a believer. Three things we saw. Knowledge of God, suffering for that knowledge, and also pressing forward, forgetting the past will increase our joy. May the loving Lord help us. If we have time, we will meditate more on these aspects. And let us see how we can complete these things in the days to come.
Request Brother Ashim to pray for the word.
Lord, thank you for the word that was just given to us. Help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Help us to be practical Christians. Help us to rejoice in the Lord always. And help us to impart the knowledge of Christ to our unbelieving friends. We pray that you may help the children to understand that God is a loving God. And thank you for the hope that there is glory beyond our suffering. And help us to all bear the cross and follow you. We pray that you may bless everybody who heard your word and help us to serve you better. I ask all these things in your precious name.
Amen. Kids. Okay, come on. Okay.
My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, my Jesus. blessings, life forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive.
Thank you, Nana. Right. So, announcements, as usual, we'll have our daily prayer meetings actually at 7 o'clock. I think Friday is the only day we're going to have at 7:30. That's the prayer meeting that we're going to have. Sunday worship service at 3 o'clock. That's as usual. So this week, actually, next announcement, actually, Nathan's birthday, it's going to be on September 18th. So it's on a Saturday, Madhyanam, actually. So I was inviting everyone, actually. He's going to enter into his teens. So please, everyone is actually invited. So it's going to be here at our home. So please come and bless him. So those are the announcements that we have. Let us actually close. And request Brother Rajiv to actually pray. And then Uncle will give the benediction. Anand.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we come to your feet this evening and thank you and praise you. And worship you, Lord. Thank you for the word that was brought to us today. Lord, thank you for giving us the ability to worship you and Lord, participate in your table. Lord, and be enriched, Lord, in our spiritual lives. Lord, thank you for this fellowship that continues to gather in your name, Lord. And Lord, gives you all the glory and honor, Lord. I pray that you bless the word that was brought today, Lord, and as we enter the next week, Lord, give us the ability to understand you, Lord, and build upon the knowledge of who you are in every aspect of our lives. Lord, give us the relational knowledge, give us the spiritual knowledge, give us, Lord, the understanding of your power and your strength and your healing in every aspect of our lives. Lord, we especially pray for all the children. Lord, protect them from the virus, especially those that are not vaccinated, Lord. And also, Lord, as they are going to school, so Lord, protect them from all harm's way. Lord, put a hedge around them. We pray and ask that if they find favor, Lord, with the teachers and all the other students, Lord, and that they're not exposed to anything negative, and they're not exposed to bullying, and Lord, that they're progressing very well educationally. Lord, I also pray for all of the immigration needs. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for remote situation, Lord. We pray that you meet this young man very quickly. Lord, I also pray for all the needs that we have in the marketplace, Lord, especially in the job. Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge and favor with management, Lord, and bless the works of our hands, Lord, and make them fruitful, Lord, according to your own favor and your own mercy. Lord, I also pray that you be with us for the rest of the fellowship time. And give us, Lord, words that are sprinkled with salt and conversations that are edifying to each other. Lord, we pray that you lead with us throughout the evening. Lord, we pray for all the ministries of the church. Bless each and every single one of them. And bless the elders. And especially pray for Brother Vinod and family that have opened their home, Lord, for this fellowship. We have a great day. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless this home. I pray and ask for all these things in the most precious and powerful name of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
May the love of the Father, grace of Lord Jesus Christ, blessed communion, abiding presence of the God of the Holy Spirit, be with us both now and forevermore.
Amen.
Blessing and honor and glory be thine, all glory be thine, all glory be thine. Sing and honor and glory.